Now we're going to look at Mark, the 5th chapter, and our message will begin with verse 25, but let me establish two things by way of introducing the message, first of which is this. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Savior and Redeemer, is the fountain, the only fountain of all spiritual blessings. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. There's nothing that God Almighty has for any son of Adam that is not found in Christ. There's nothing by way of mercy and grace. Now, hell's not in Christ. Punishment of sin not in Christ. That's because we're not in Christ. But every spiritual mercy, grace, gift, and love that God has for any son of Adam is found in Jesus Christ. It's not found in the church. It's not found in the law. It's not found in any religious traditions or ceremonies. Everything God has for the sinner is in Christ. And another thing, everything I need is in Christ. I don't need anything but Christ. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of God. All the fullness of God dwells in Him, and I'm complete in Him. John said, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. God has given us life, and that life is in His Son. And Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, but of Him, of God, are you in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom, all the wisdom I need, righteousness, all that I need, sanctification, all that I need, redemption, all that I need, that as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now let that be established. That's the fact of facts. That's an undoubted truth. Everything God has for any man is in Christ. Every spiritual blessing, every good thing, every good and perfect gift cometh from Him. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. Come unto me, He said, I'll give you rest. I'll give you peace. I'll give you life. He said, I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. I am the door of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Everything is in Jesus Christ. All right, here's the second thing now. Now let that be established, please. If you don't hear anything else tonight, hear that. Don't go to the Catholic priest. He doesn't have a thing for you. Don't come to me. I don't have a thing for you. Don't turn to any human being. Put no confidence in the flesh. Turn to Christ. Lay hold upon Him. This woman said, if I can just touch Him. It's not me touching you. Don't touch the television. Don't dare lay your hand on that thing. Don't touch me. Don't let any... I see this silly-looking guy with a funny hat from Rome run around touching people, and they just fall out, you know. Don't touch him. A man can't give you anything but his corruption. That's all. Christ is the fountain of life. Christ is the well of living water. He said, if you knew the gift of God, you'd ask of me, and I'd give you living water. I'd give you living water. Get in touch with Christ. Cut some of these ties that you have with the flesh, some of this dependence upon denominations and rituals and church membership and your old experience. Cut that tie with your old experience and be done with it. Nothing in experience, nothing in it. It's all in Christ. If you hadn't laid hold on Him before, do it tonight. If you haven't reached out before, reach out tonight and touch the Lord as He passes by. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your need, every need, and everything I need's in Christ. Reach out and touch the Lord. But the second thing now, and I can't explain this, I just know it's so. Now, if you want logic, you better go somewhere besides the Bible. You better go somewhere besides the Bible. You better go to a book of theology if you want logic. But if you want truth, go to the Bible. You see, this is God's truth, and I can't comprehend God, but could I be God? He said, it's too high for you. It's higher than the heavens. You can't attain unto it. It's deeper than hell. You can't reach it. It's broader than the sea, and you're confined to one little spot. I know this. I know that it's faith that puts me in touch with Christ. It's faith. Christ is the fountain. It's the same thing. There's the fountain. There's the living water. There's what'll quench my thirst. There's what'll satisfy and meet my need. Everything's right in there. I can bite my hand and it won't satisfy me, but my hand will bring that water to my mouth. I drink. If I don't drink, Charlie, I perish. If I don't drink, I can sit down right beside the well and go to hell. That's right. It's there. It's there. And the arm didn't satisfy my thirst. The arm didn't make any contribution to the satisfaction of my thirst. The life was in the water. The satisfaction's in the water. The relief's in the water. The strength's in the water. It's all there. But I've got to pick it up. That's what the Word of God teaches. Thy faith, he said, hath made thee whole. Thy faith hath saved thee. All things are possible to them that believe. We're kept by the power of God through faith. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. The fountain will be tapped by faith. That's so. That's so. He says, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. He said, by faith, Enoch walked with God. And he had this testimony, he pleased the Lord. By faith, Abraham left his father's home and went to a land that God would show him, not knowing where he was going. By faith, Noah, being warned of things not seen, prepared an ark to the salvation of his family. By faith, Moses left Egypt and regarded even the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. By faith. By faith. Hold that scripture there and turn to the book of John. Listen to this. You know, John chapter 3, the Philippian jailer came to Paul and Silas in the prison. He was troubled, confused, fearful, near suicide. He didn't know a thing, ignorant, just fearing God, surrounded by the power of God and the shaking of the prison and the earthquake and all these things and scared to death. And he just fell down before Paul and said, what must I do to be saved? And I can just hear some of the dear Reformed brethren, well, now you've got to see yourself lost. You know, you've got to be a quickened sinner or a awakened sinner or a troubled sinner. He said, I'm just a sinner. I don't know what all these definitions are, but I'm just in trouble. What must I do to be saved? Well, the Board of Deacons will meet next Wednesday, and we could take up your application. I don't have till next Wednesday. The thief on the cross might have said that too. But I tell you, you could unite with us if you'd wait 6 months and prove that you are a believer. And then we may... What must I do to be saved? Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he said. And the Ethiopian eunuch, Philip talked to him about the gospel. He said, I want to be baptized. What are the conditions for being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe, you may. He said, I believe. Look at John chapter 3. Verse 18 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth on Christ is not condemned. That's pretty clear. That's about as plain as words can make. It's not he that preaches or serves or works or attains a certain righteousness. He that believeth is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Look at verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. My friends, the source of all spiritual mercies, grace, blessings, love, everything God has for a son of Adam is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's there by design. God purposed to save a people. He purposed to redeem them in His Son. He made His Son the eternal surety. It's there by decree. God decreed that all things should be in Christ. It's there by death. Christ died that He might be Lord of the dead and the living. It's all in Him. By design, by decree, and by death, Christ purchased the right to redeem. He has the right to redeem. He has that right by God's design, by God's decree, and by His own death. It's all in Him. It's all vested in Him. It's all put in Him. You know, when Joseph came down to Egypt, God gave him an understanding of the famine and of the years of plenty. He said there'd be 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine. And Pharaoh said, well, I'm going to put you in charge of the storehouses. And he said, now, God's given you the wisdom to see this, and God will give you the wisdom to save us. So Joseph stored up food during the 7 years of plenty, and then when the famine struck, they had plenty to last them. And people would come to Pharaoh and say, we want some food. You know what he always said? Go to Joseph. Go to Joseph. If you want food, go to Joseph. Joseph's in charge. He's in charge of the storehouses. Well, in this case, and that's the reason the type won't walk on four legs, our Lord Jesus Christ, not only in charge of the storehouse, He is the storehouse. He's not only the dispenser of the grain of life, He is the grain of life. He's not only the giver of the bread, He is the bread. He's not only the altar and the offering and the priest, but the one to whom it's offered. He's everything. You can't make too much of Him. You can't do it. And faith puts me in touch with Christ. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Nobody will be saved without faith. And it's your faith. God gives it, God grants it, God enables you, God quickens it, God Almighty supplies it, God woos you, God draws you, but you believe. That's right. He says, thou shalt confess with thy mouth, not somebody else's mouth, thy mouth, and believe in thine heart God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Let me show you that in our scripture, Mark 5:25. And I want you to look at the text and see this story. And this is not a parable. This happened. And these examples of healing are not just to show you that the Lord has the power to heal. He who made the Son can certainly give healing to His people. He has healing in His way. He who made the eye can certainly heal it. He who made the ear can certainly tune it. God could restore my hearing. I don't have any doubt about that. Being hard of hearing sometimes is a blessing. You can't turn me off like I can turn you off. That, you know, that is a blessing sometimes. God made the ear. He can tune it. He made the heart. He can make it pump. He can make it stop. Life's in the hands of our Lord. So we're not, these stories are not just to convince us the Lord Jesus can heal. They are to show us how He saves. That's what these stories are about. Every parable is to show how God saves sinners. Every example of healing is to show how the Lord heals the heart and heals the soul. So here's a woman. It says, verse 25, she was a certain woman. Not a parable. She's a real person. She had a name. I don't know what her name is. Maybe her name was Betty, or maybe her name was Elizabeth. But she was a real woman. And she had a family just like you do. She was a daughter of Adam. She was a member of the human race. She wasn't some special person. She was just a typical woman. Just a plain, ordinary woman. A certain woman. All right, the second thing. But this woman, verse 25, had a need which caused her much distress. She had a need which caused her much pain. She had an issue of blood, a hemorrhaging. This was a disease within. You couldn't tell it outwardly except to see its effect on her. There was no breaking of the skin. There was no obvious signs outwardly that she was a dying woman. But she had a disease for 12 years, for a long time. And it was a fatal disease. It was a blood disease. She wasn't going to be here long. And you couldn't tell it. You see her there, and she looks just like any other woman, a certain woman. She knew it. She lived with it. Now, you ladies, I tell your husband in the pulpit here they're sinners, and you go home and tell them how good they are. And parents, I tell your children what great sinners are, and you pat them on the head and say, you're a good little boy, you know. You're just tearing down everything I'm preaching. You see them, they don't have any outward sign, but I wish you could see their little mean, rotten hearts. That's right. They're full of hell itself. Did you know that? That sweet little son of yours would be another devil if God turned him loose. And that's so. And this woman, you look at her there, and there she stands, and there's no outward sign. There's no visible breaking out. She doesn't look grotesque and ugly. She's just a plain, simple woman who's rotten within. Dying. Plagued. That's right. And that's what I got. That's what's preaching to you tonight without Christ. And that's what's sitting out there if you're without Christ. If we're without Christ, we have a fatal disease. We got it from Adam. And it's in here. It's in our bloodstream. It's in our very veins. It's in our heart. It's a blood disease. We've got bad blood. We're evil within. The only reason any man is commendable in any way is because God's restrained him. Did you know that? That's right. The only reason anybody here has any commendable virtue is because God either restrained him or gave it to him. Restrained his evil or gave him grace. Now that's so. That's so, Joe. That's the only reason. The only reason that you are a likable person, a commendable person, a gracious person, a person that knows anything about this Bible is God's not only restrained you, but he's been gracious to you. That's so. All right, she had an issue of blood 12 years. And look, verse 26. And this is applicable our day. She had suffered many things of many physicians. There are many fellas out there that she'd been going from, I can just see her going from one to the other. They all got their shingles out, you know, doctor this and doctor that and doctor the other. They couldn't help her because they didn't understand her disease. They didn't have the cure because they didn't know what they're working on. And that's what's wrong with so many of these soul healers, so many of these preachers. I told the men in the study, I heard a preacher last night on the television, and he was preaching along, and he said this. He read that passage of Scripture where the Apostle Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said, "Blessed art thou, Simon, Peter, blessed art thou, Peter, thou art a rock. And upon rocks like you, I'll build my church." That's what he said, see. On rocks like you. Christ didn't say that. Oh, my soul. She'd tried all these fellas. She'd gone to this one. He told her, be baptized. She'd gone to this one, and he told her to study the catechism. She'd gone to this one, and he told her to do this, that. And a poor lady wrote me the other day. I got a letter. She gets $20 a week allowance. She's way up in years. And she gets a little income, but her son handles her income. She's saving money for an operation. And she's got a little money put away for an operation. And she's been to different preachers knowing how much she ought to give to the church. And every one she talks to is so strict on tithing, you know. And one of them said, now, if you borrow any money from your son, you have to pay a tithe on what you borrow, you know. Poor lady's so confused. These soul healers, they're not bashful. They're not bashful at all. Misery loves company. They'll tell you something to do, even if it's wrong. And she'd gone to these fellas, you know, and she spent everything she had. She invested her time, her money, her effort, everything into these fellas. She invested everything, and she wasn't any better. She was more confused than ever, and hurting worse than ever. And bleeding worse than ever. And I'll tell you, after you've been around all these soul healers and all these self-styled preachers and evangelists and saviors and soul winners, I tell you, you'll be worse off too than when you began, because you'll be wrapped up in their tradition and self-righteousness. They'll give you an experience to hide in. They'll give you a refuge to hide in. They'll give you a baptism to hold to. They'll give you some commitment to look back to. They'll give you something. And she was just worse, worse. Look at that next verse. Here's new good news. She heard of Jesus. Now watch the word heard. She heard. Somebody told her about Christ. Now that, you see, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to do on the television. That's what I want to do on the radio here in the pulpit. Our missionaries, wherever we go, I want to tell some folks about Him who is all in all. That's what I want these young men to do who go out. I want them tonight, Darvin's preaching down in Louisiana right now. I hope, Joe, he's telling them about the Lord. I believe he is. I believe he is. Because before a man can trust Christ, he's got to hear about Christ. God had chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And somebody told her who Christ was. Somebody said, well now, did you know that the Christ has come? The Messiah has come from God? Do you know who He is? He's Jesus of Nazareth. Do you know He has the power to heal? He has the power to save? He has the power to redeem? He came down to this earth and kept the law and died on the cross, was buried and rose again. He's gone back to heaven where He sits on the right hand of God. That's our message. Our message is Christ. Somebody told her about the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody wasn't preaching that day on the importance of being a member of a New Testament church. Somebody wasn't preaching that day on whether he's sublapsarian or a superlapsarian or just lapsarian back into something else, you know. Somebody was preaching the gospel that day. Somebody wasn't preaching that day splitting hairs about whether this was true or that was true or whether you ought to do this or do that. Church government ought to have elders, ruling elders and teaching elders. And I think sometimes when folks come to hear us and they sit and listen to us and we solve all these impossible problems, and they go away just as empty as when they came. You know, didn't meet any need. But somebody was talking about the Lord Jesus, and she heard about Christ. And she found out He was in town, and it says in verse 27 that she came in the press and touched. She reached out and touched Him. This is what faith does. Faith will and faith must. Yes, sir. Faith will and faith must touch Him. Now, I say this to you. Now, you think about this. Brother Ed Wallen, he was with me last week in the Bible conference, and we talked about this experience. He was sitting right there where Bob is. He'd been to Korea. He was a sergeant in the Army. Some of you may remember. Some of you might have been here. But he's sitting right there where Bob is. Years ago, he'd come back from Korea. And he was been in the Army several years, and his wife was a member of this church, and he came with her to the service. Brother Barner's up here preaching. And he got hold of some good preaching. So he got hold of the gospel. He told about Christ, the gospel. And he said, I want all of you to bow your heads. He says, there's somebody here tonight that's lost, that needs a Savior, that needs Christ. Would you raise your hand? Let me pray for you. And old Ed put up his hand, Bob, just raised his hand. Barnes said, son, I'll pray for you. And so we had prayer. And he said, I want to stand and sing a song. Now you who want to trust Christ, you trust Him. You believe on Him. You lay hold of Him. You reach out and touch Him. You trust Him right now. And so we sang and nobody moved. I remember this like yesterday. And he got through and we didn't have all this up here. We was a little poor then. We didn't have all this fancy stuff, but Roth finished preaching, and he walked right down and right smack up to Brother Wallen. And he said, son, he said, why didn't you trust the Lord tonight? Why didn't you trust the Lord? And Ed said, well, I wanted to, but I couldn't. Roth said, son, you're a liar. Now, you don't call too many buck sergeants in the Army a liar, but Roth would, you know. He's able to do that. He said, son, you're a liar. Boy, his face turned red. His veins stood out like a couple of fingers right there, you know. And Roth didn't stop. He said, if you'd have wanted to, you would have. And just turned and walked off. Boy, Ed went home that night. He told his wife, "You'll never get me back in that place. Never, never." Lou said, "What's the problem?" Said, "The preacher called me a liar." She said, "Brother Barnard?" "Yes, he called me a liar." She said, "Why'd he do that?" "Well," said, "he told me, he asked me why I didn't trust the Lord, and I said, well, I wanted to, but I couldn't." He said, "You're a liar." She said, "Well, you are." I wouldn't advise that to you wives, I wouldn't. I mean, if he's already lit up, don't do anything. But that's what she said, "You are." He said, "What do you mean?" She said, "If you'd want to, you would have. People do what they want to do. And I'll tell you this," she said, "if you ever get lost, you'll trust him. If you ever get lost." Well, he did. He's now pastor of a church down in Alabama. But this woman here was in trouble. And Christ was her only source of mercy. This woman was dying, and Christ was the only source of life. This woman was drowning in disease and misery, and Christ was her only help. And, but if you ever get in that shape, you'll reach out too. Like blind Bartimaeus, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy!" They said, "Be quiet." He said, "I'm not going to be quiet till he has mercy." The thief on the cross, "Lord, please remember me." We're just not lost yet. This woman's in trouble. This woman's dying. And Christ is her only hope. And he's your only hope. And I tell you this, that sink or swim, I'm going to him. I'm going to knock on his door till he opens it. I don't believe that stuff about him knocking on my door and I won't open it. I'm knocking on his door. That's right. That's right. I'm knocking on his door. He's the life. I'm coming, Lord. Here, I'm coming to thee. And she reached out. She knew her need. She knew her disease. She knew her inability, her helplessness. She knew he could meet her need. And she reached out. I'm not telling you to come to me or the front or a bench or a pool or a wafer or whatever. I'm telling you to reach out and touch Christ. Fall on your face before him. "Lord, save me. I won't let you go till you bless me. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." But brother, let me tell you something. Faith reaches out. Faith must. It will. It has to. And I'll tell you this about it. Look at the next verse. And straightway, do I believe in instantaneous conversion? I certainly do. I believe the moment you believe, you're not condemned. I don't care how strong your faith is or how weak it is. I don't care how frail it is or how great it is. The moment that you can trust Christ alone, believe on Christ alone, rest in Christ alone, the moment, straightway, you are saved. You're not condemned. You're not condemned. That little baby that's born from its mother is a frail creature when it first comes forth in the womb. It's a delicate, frail creature. It needs attention and help. But it lives just as much as I live. It's got the breath of life in it just as much as I have. And that person with the weak faith, with the infant faith, with the childlike faith, is just as much a child of God as John Halsom's a child of God. Just as much. That's right. Instantaneously. I don't think the Lord saves next week, next month, next year. He that believeth on him is not condemned. The moment you believe. I can't believe for you. I'm just saying this woman reached out and touched him. That's not the conventional way to come. You say, there is no conventional way for a person that's in need. One may reach out and touch him. Another may fall at his feet and ask for mercy. Another, like the harlot, may pour the precious ointment on his feet, wash him with her tears and dry him with her hair. Another may come another way. But whatever, if you're in need, you just cry out. You just cry out. You just cry out to Christ. And she was healed immediately. Watch the next verse. Now then, there's got to be an open confession. Our Lord demands it. Our Lord expects it. Our Lord is going to bring it forth. He stopped and he said, "Who touched me? Come on, who touched me? Who touched me?" Jesus Christ is passing by. And out here tonight are needy creatures. We've got an issue of blood. It's more fatal than hers. It's more dangerous than hers. It's more corrupt than hers. It's more devastating than hers. And I'm helpless and hopeless. And I'm going to reach out and touch him. Are you? I said, "Lord, here I am. Save me. I'm going to touch him." And then he says, "Who touched me?" I said, I did. It was me. I did. Yeah, she came. She came to him and fell on her knees and worshiped him. And she admitted, she said it, she told him the whole thing. You know, I like what the disciples said here. Our Lord said, "Who touched me?" Now watch this. And the disciples said, "Well, you see the multitude." Our Lord said, "Yes, I see the multitude, but somebody in that multitude sees me." That's right. Somebody in that multitude sees me. Somebody in that multitude has some discernment. Somebody in that multitude has some understanding. And she came and told him all things. And watch the next verse. And he said to her, now watch this. He said to her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. And behold, you have the word of the Lord for it." Now watch this. She had that need. Weakness, infirmity, inability, powerlessness. She hadn't found any satisfaction in all this, these false, phony physicians. And she heard the gospel, the truth. She heard of his redemptive glory, character, and power. And she said in her heart, "This is faith. I can touch him, I behold." And their paths crossed by God's grace, and she touched him. And she knew she was whole. She said she felt it. That's what it says here. And she felt in her body that she was healed. She felt the power of God in her soul and body. Now she knew that. And some of you know that. But you say, "I don't have any assurance. And I don't know that I'm on the right track here, but I kind of believe I am." Her assurance was given her by him. By him. By his word. After she confessed him. After she confessed him. In other words, she was healed. Her healing didn't wait on her confession, Jay. Her healing didn't wait on her confession. You know, you got to have something to confess before you can confess. You got to have a relationship to own before you can own it. You've got to have a relationship with which to identify before you can be baptized. You see, they heard, they believed, and they were baptized. And assurance follows this, confidence. This woman was healed by her contact with the Lord, by his strength and grace. And then he singled her out. Now, she'd have slipped off in the crowd. I don't know the results, but he called her out. He said, "Who touched me? Who touched?" He knew who touched him. He wanted to hear from her. And she came and fell down and said, "I believe. I believe. I was weak and infirm." She told him the whole truth. She said, "I've tried all these other people and I've tried everything. And Lord, I knew you could heal me and I touched you." And he said, "Your faith made you whole. Go in peace." And this is what I believe, that where baptism and a confession of Christ, a public confession of Christ. He said, "If you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father." And the confession does not save, Christ saved. Baptism does, and we get this thing all twisted up. And somebody says, "Well, you got to be baptized in order to be saved." No, sir. That woman touched Christ and was healed. He's the fountain. He's the source. He's the light. But he singled her out for an identification, for a declaration, for a confession. And she told him and the public all that took place. And he gave her, Jay, a word of assurance. He gave her a word of assurance. And I've had this very thing happen. I've had them troubled They say, well, Brother Man, I believe, and Christ is my only hope. I say, well, have you confessed Christ? Have you owned him? Have you stepped out and declared the truth? Well, no, I never have. Well, why don't you walk in the light God gave you? Has anybody here touched him tonight? Then I call on you to make it known. I'm not saying that that doesn't heal you. That doesn't save you. But our Lord insisted upon it, didn't he? He could have let her go, but he knew that something had taken place between him and her. The virtue went out of him, strength and life. And it went into her. And Bobby wanted to hear from her. He wanted to hear from her. And he heard from her, too, because she wasn't ashamed. Whosoever believeth shall not be ashamed. And she came out and told the whole truth. And I'm always fearful that we get people to do things and say things and confess things that haven't taken place. But we've got to invite. We've got to press. We've got to persuade men. We've got to, as ambassadors of Christ, to exhort men to declare your faith. Declare your faith. Reach out and touch the Lord. Make it known. And assurance will follow. Our Father, for the Word, we give thanks for this beautiful picture of redemption of our Lord Jesus Christ dealing with the needy, meeting the need of a helpless sinner. And that's what he did for us. And we boldly confess him before the world. He is my Lord, my hope, my refuge, my salvation. Give understanding to all who are here in regard to themselves and their needs, and in regard to him who meets every need. In his name we pray. Amen.